Well, we are in Ephesians 2, and I would like for us to look in verses 8 and 9 this morning. Two very familiar verses, but I don't want you to let the familiarity there scare you away. I think I have something to say to you that you need to hear. Our sermon series is Christmas, God's Gift. We began the first week of the month in James 1 and talked about God's gift as the perfect gift. Then we moved to Romans 6, and we saw that that perfect gift is eternal life. And then in Romans 5, we saw that it was a free gift that was righteousness. We've freely been given Christ's righteousness on our account. Here I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 2 that the gift of God is not by works. And I want to give you a very simple outline this morning. By grace, through faith, not works. And if you need it to be less simple than that, how about we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not works. Let's read this together, then we'll pray and get right into it. Ephesians 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and how it speaks to us. Lord, I thank you that it is the tool that it is used by you and your Holy Spirit to save us when we were unsaved. Lord, I thank you now as believers, this word of God, you speaking to us is what edifies us, builds us up, makes us into who you'd have us to be. Lord, we long to be closer to you, have a better relationship with you. And I thank you for the word of God that allows for that. So, Father, as we give ourselves to this time of the reading and the preaching of your word, I pray that you would renew our minds. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit and your word, that you would make us more like Christ. Sanctify us, Father. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin with by grace. We are saved by grace alone. To the sinner, the message here is you can be saved. That's a great message. It's a wonderful message. Often we feel so broken. We feel so imperfect. We feel so helpless. And by we there, I mean the saints. But do you remember what it was like before you were saved? Some of you are here today. You're unsaved. That feeling is not only that you feel imperfect and broken and helpless, but you don't know what to do about it. We feel as though being a saint is so far beyond our own ability. That's just the mind of one God will save. If you sit here this morning and think, I've come to church, I've said my prayers, I've read my Bible, I've got a smile on. If you're me, I wore my tie. God, surely God will save me. That's not the mind of one God can save. It's the one who comes to realize that I am nothing and He is everything. I am simply a sinner who does not deserve forgiveness and God's salvation. That's the mind of one God will save. Grace is God's unmerited favor. If you could earn it, it wouldn't be grace. God, in His grace, He takes those who cannot save themselves, those who cannot earn His forgiveness, those who, no matter how often we try and turn over a new leaf, God takes those and He saves us. He redeems us. He brings us to Himself in a relationship. So many think that being saved is just going to church. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved because I don't want to die and go to hell. I need to get my sins forgiven and work this out before the end of my life. So I'm going to go to church. That's awful boring, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to lie to me. I see you drowsy, getting drowsy when I'm preaching. No, I love church. And I love coming to church. I love being around the other Christians. But coming to church doesn't save you. Would standing in your garage make you a car? Of course not. Being saved and keeping yourself saved is not just keeping on coming to church. No, it's a relationship with God. It's a daily walk with Him, a daily talk with Him. Him speaking to you through the Word, you speaking to Him in prayer. And that being something that is a wonderful part of your life, not just a chore and something you have to go through. The only way that you can ever comprehend how God does this, the only way you will ever comprehend why God does this. Have you ever had that thought? God, why in the world would you save me? The only way you can ever comprehend this is through the word grace. So to the saint, or to the sinner, the message is you could be saved. To the saint, there's a message here as well. These verses are not only evangelistic, they're edifying. The message here for the saint is you have been saved by God's grace. You need not forget that. It's easy to forget that. Well, I teach a Sunday school class. I dress nice and make all the services. I've been baptized. My name is on the membership roll. I gave my offering this morning. I'm in charge of lighting the candles before the services. Whatever it is that you do, thank you for this. I was laughing this week. I started making a list. I said that, you know, it's Christmas time. It's a good time to thank people who do something around the church. I'm going to buy a gift for every person who does something around the church. That was everybody. I didn't have enough money. I'm sorry. I apologize. All of you do something around the church. And I appreciate it. It means a lot. It really does. That's what makes this place so special. But it's not what saves you. Hopefully you do those things because you're saved. Remember James? Faith without works is dead. We don't have dead faith. No, we have alive faith. So to the saint, the message is, you've been saved by God's grace. It's almost as a remembrance. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget how you got here. You were saved by grace. Here's another reminder. John 6:44. Jesus said this, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." What is Jesus saying there? You could not come to God on your own. Still, He drew you to Himself. And now that's a comfort. You were saved because God drew you to Himself in salvation. And Jesus promises that that salvation will last until you're with Jesus again. Until He raised you up to be with Him. Not that it runs out then, but you'll be with Jesus, so that'll be salvation. But that is grace. We could not, so He did. Or better, in our world, we would not, so He did. Do you remember before you got saved? Some of you were pretty nice folks, but the rest of you, I don't know. You weren't going to get saved. You didn't want to be a saint. You didn't want to be a Sunday morning church goer. You really didn't want to be an 8:30 Sunday morning church goer. That's the special crowd. Amen?
Amen.
The real holy folks. Get up early and look forward to it. You weren't going to get saved. But God is so gracious to you. You remember the day you got saved? Do you remember when you asked for forgiveness of sins? Do you remember some of you walked an aisle? You knelt in an altar. You knelt by your bedside. You called the preacher or you came to his office. You went to someone close to you who you knew could get a prayer through. That's a wonderful thing. But on your own, you just kept on sinning. You just kept on pursuing that sinful life. But all of a sudden something happened in your world. It's just like a light bulb turns on. And you wanted to get saved. Praise the Lord for His grace. We were not saved by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. The fallen sinner is not a drowning man who merely needs to reach out and do his part by grabbing the life preserver tossed to him by God. No. We were in a far more serious condition than that. We weren't just on top of the water drowning. We were at the bottom of the ocean. We were a cold, dead, lifeless corpse at the bottom of the sea. Salvation was a pure act of grace. And grace alone on the part of God. Look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath He quickened." We don't use that word anymore. You can come to understand the meaning of it through a movie title. The quick and the... what's the opposite of dead? Alive. So the quick and the dead. It's deep theology. What does it mean that He quickened you then? He made you alive. "And you hath He quickened who were..." what does it say?
Dead.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? It wasn't that you were a pretty decent person and you added the work of Christ on next to your works and now everything's okay and you're going to float on that life preserver to heaven. No, you didn't even know. You were dead. And God made you alive. You were dead how? In trespasses and sins. Verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful thing. We were dead and God made us alive. Praise the Lord for that. I want to close this first heading of grace reading to you Apostle Paul's words to Titus. Titus was a young preacher that led an assembly of the church. And remember, Paul wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read to you from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Paul writes, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I love that wording. He says grace brings salvation. You probably have been to some family gatherings this weekend or going to go to some in the next couple of days, and you probably know that Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so always brings such-and-such. Isn't that the truth? You know, there comes Aunt so-and-so. She always brings whatever. I should have asked some of you ahead of time. I got a better illustration than that. I can't give details. But in our family, Aunt Radonna always makes mashed potatoes. And this enormous pot of mashed potatoes, and they're delicious. And we like a lot of them. I know you can't tell by looking at me, but you look at some other people in my family, and you can tell. That hurts my feelings. I wasn't telling a joke. This is what Paul says about grace. He says the grace of God brings salvation. Always. It always brings salvation. You can just expect it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What did Paul say here to the Ephesians in chapter number 2? He says that we were all children of wrath by nature, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But to Titus, he says, the grace of God. What did we say grace was? God's unmerited favor hath appeared to all men. What a blessing this is. Paul continues writing to Titus, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are saved by grace. This grace of God that has appeared to all men. Next, in Ephesians 2, verse 8, Paul says that it is through faith. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Now, I tagged the word alone onto the end there, and I'm going to get to the reason for that in just a minute. Don't wonder why I'm saying that. I'll get to it. Through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. That's the biblical definition for faith. Without faith, it is impossible for sinful people to ever please God. That's Hebrews 11:6, which goes on to say, to come to God, we must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is what? It's a substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. And then it's evidence. It's the evidence of things that we are not able to see. And for us to come to God. So I just spent a good portion of the time this morning talking to you about the only way you can't come to God on your own. The only way you can be saved is through God's grace. Had God not shown the glorious light of his grace into your life. Look at all the candles in here. These are symbolic of that. The light of the world is Jesus. Had God not shown that grace in your life, you would have never gotten saved. You would have continued on the path you were on, your sinful path. But then there's faith. By grace are you saved through faith. To come to God, we must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, saved by grace can seem abstract. Saved by grace can seem intangible. Well, that's where faith steps in. It allows you to be able to grab it, to have it, to realize it. My oldest son is 13, and he's already starting to think about being able to drive a car. In fact, don't tell the police, but or the law, if that's how you refer to them. My father takes him around and lets him drive through White Bluff at times. If you see a green truck coming and Dad's not driving it, look out. It's like a jack. But I'm not too ashamed or embarrassed of that, because my first Sunday morning here, an 8-year-old girl got in her grandpa's truck and drove him home in it. And I thought, what's going on there? And there was Cameron just driving himself home. I said, I like where I live. This is great. But he's already thinking about wanting to. I want this kind of car. This is what I'm going to do to it. I'm going to put on it. I'm not going to get into all that, but I don't like it, obviously. I'm the dad. He's the kid, you know. Anyways. But he's come to realize that the older he gets, the more earning potential he has. When he was real little, you know, here's a dollar. When he gets a little older, here's $5. He went and worked a while back. Someone gave him $50. That was a $1 million bill to him. He was just like, I'm tired, I'm dirty, I'm filthy, I'm nasty, but I've got $50. And I wanted to say, buddy, the last time we went to McDonald's and ordered off the value menu, I spent $50. But I didn't. I didn't burst his bubble. There's this idea here of things being abstract, things being intangible. For him, it's becoming more and more tangible to be able to earn a certain amount of money to be able to realize I can buy these things. And you've seen that as you've grown into your adult life. Saved by grace can seem that way. I don't want it to seem that way, but it can seem that way. And then faith steps in. This great salvation, being forgiven for your sins by a gracious act of God, now becomes yours personally through faith. Wow. Now be sure you properly understand faith. Faith is something more than feelings. Feelings are good. God made you an emotional being. I'm not doubting the power of an emotion here this morning. But faith is more than feelings. Biblical faith is so much more than naive, blind hope. If you're unsaved this morning, you might be wondering if we're just a bunch of people with naive, blind hope. Those of you who are saved, you likely talk to people who think that you have some sort of naive, blind hope about God and the Bible and church and heaven. But biblical faith is more than that. It is more than a purpose-filled optimism. We evermore live in a world, in the church, where faith is nothing more than purpose-filled optimism. If you can have just enough purpose-filled optimism, you can be the little engine that could, and I think I can, and you'll get to heaven, and you'll be blessed, and things will be good. This is not true. I'm not up here trying to teach you the purpose-driven life. I'm not up here trying to teach you the power of positive thinking. No, I'm telling you just the opposite. I'm telling you, you're a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner who deserved hell with your back broke. And for some reason, God lifted you up out of a horrible pit and set your feet on a rock and established your going. And has promised you an eternity with Him. What reason? Grace? How can I have this? Through faith. Not a blind, naive hope. Not a hope-so thing. No. The evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. Biblical faith. No. I'm not a desperate salesman. But I am a desperate man preaching to desperate men and women. But not without the solution. The answer is Jesus Christ. You're probably sitting here wondering, well, how in the world is this a Christmas sermon? That's how. God's gift to the world that we celebrate at Christmas time is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Here we understand why Paul says of salvation by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Real faith is not based upon a person's individual attitudes and feelings. In the context of only human understanding. Faith is unstable. Did you watch the Titans yesterday? Did they win? I'm thinking they won. I didn't watch it, but I get on Twitter. I like Twitter. And all of my friends on Twitter were saying like negative things about the Titans, and then they were saying positive things about the Titans, and then they were saying negative things about them. So I assume the game went back and forth. Is that right? It was they were losing, and then they were winning, and then they won. Okay, I didn't know if I was right there or not. I figured I wouldn't get on the other team. I figured that's a sore spot right now. So, and I'm not talking about Vandy. There we go. We're waking up now. Go Big Orange. Hey, I live here now. I want them to do well. I promise. That's an unstable faith, isn't it? You love your team. You believe in your team. Some of you like NASCAR. You've got a driver. You like this driver. You believe in them. But when they blow a tire, you begin to wonder. When they fumble the ball, you begin to wonder. When they miss a ground ball on the baseball field, you begin to wonder. This is a faith. We believe in our team, but it's an unstable faith. The days are getting close to Christmas. Every bright-eyed little child who's just hoping for old Saint Nick to bring them that very thing they wished for. That Red Ryder carbine action. They're starting to waver on their faith. They've been checking the tree. They get up in the morning. They throw hints at the parents. And they're starting to wonder, is it going to come through or not? This is not biblical faith. There's nothing wrong with that. I hope you're hoping for a big raise at the first of the year. I hope you're hoping your team wins the championship. Live life positively. Don't live life negatively. Be happy. This is all good. But realize at the base of all of that it's by God's grace through faith, a substance, an evidence. Real faith, not based upon your feelings, not based upon your attitude, not something that's unstable in the context of biblical faith. It is reliable. For it is faith in who? God. He is trustworthy. He never changes. He's always the same. He reveals himself to us through the word as reliable. There's the song that says, "My faith has found a resting place." That speaks volumes. Faith in the biblical sense is knowledge through the Word, the Bible, the gospel initially, Jesus. We cannot believe in that which we do not know. That's why the Word of God is so important. Faith comes through this knowledge that we come to know in the Bible. Faith is also a heart response through the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It's not merely a mental assent to a set of truths. I wish it were sometimes. I think a lot of times on the intellectual level, I could convince someone to be a Christian easier than I could through them believing that when the Holy Spirit draws you, you respond with your heart. I could just say, believe this, 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 and this, and hold to that for the rest of your life without wavering, and you'll be sure to go to heaven. I think more people in our day and age would go that, especially if I could say, I saw it on Facebook. It's got to be true. Faith is not a mere mental assent to a set of truths. It is a heart response. What do we mean by heart? The seat of your emotions, the immaterial part of your being. It is a heart response to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. I saw a young girl one time go up. It was a Q&A session at a great big conference, Bible conference. And she said to the preacher, who actually was her pastor, she said, "You teach me the Bible faithfully every week." She was maybe 11 or 12 years old. And she said, I'm so grateful for that. Teaching me about grace and faith and these things. And she said, "I want to be saved with all of my heart, but I'm just not sure if the Holy Spirit has ever drawn me." And he said, "Young lady, what did you just say before you said that?" And she said, "I want to be saved with all my heart." He said, "The Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. It's not difficult. It's not complicated. That thirst that you have in you for righteousness, that hunger that you have inside of your soul, that desire that you have to want to be something other than you are right now, this is the work of God's grace. This is God's Holy Spirit inside of you, making you aware that you can't live in your carnal nature anymore. You must be born again." This comes through faith. It's a heart response. John Calvin said, "We must pour into the heart what the mind has absorbed." I thought that was perfect. And I don't always quote John Calvin to you, but that was just so simple. He usually talks so complicated that I can't get his quotes out right. I can't even read them to you right. But did you hear what he said? We must pour into the heart what the mind has absorbed. That's perfect. Third, faith is a commitment of trust. Just as a spouse makes a commitment to be in a from now on relationship with the one they love. By faith, we commit to be in a relationship with God who by grace has revealed himself to us. Faith is casting yourself upon Christ, resting on his promises, and accepting his finished work on your behalf. This commitment, this faith, this trust is doing like doubting Thomas did in John 20:28. I love that we call Thomas doubting Thomas. No offense to all you Toms in here this morning. I have a son, Tom. We call him Doubting Thomas or Thomas the Doubter because he's the one who said, let me see. But like it or not, we're all that way, aren't we? That appealed to my human nature when I read that as a child. But then I began to learn about faith, and I love John 20:28 as Doubting Thomas, or rather, Full of Faith Thomas, says, he declares, "My Lord and my God." That's what we all must do by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. It's a simple declaration, "My Lord and my God." I want to conclude today with a reminder that the gift of God is not of works. Not works. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The reason I tagged the word alone on the end there is because it's not by works. It's not grace plus your faith. It's not grace plus faith because of Christ. It's grace plus nothing minus nothing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, how? Through faith. How again? Christ. All of this is possible because of Christ. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ladies, you get off the hook there. Y'all wouldn't be so prideful, but us men, we would be. We'd be up in heaven saying, "God, aren't you glad I had enough faith to get me here?" No. This makes faith something other than a work. Faith is a channel by which the grace of God comes to us. It is not a deserving action or attitude on our part. That's how Paul led into all this in verse 9. In verse 8, he says, "That, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." God gave it to you. Salvation, which is ours through faith, is not of ourselves, but rather is God's gift. We do not contribute to our salvation. We only receive it as a gift. Now I'm speaking to you purely in the spiritual sense there. Obviously, if you walked an aisle the day you got saved, to some extent, how did you contribute? Well, you were breathing. Actually, yeah, I don't guess you had anything to do with that, did you? Breathing is an involuntary action. It's all of grace, isn't it? When you walked, you could have sat right there. I did. I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me prior to the night that I got saved, but I would grab the pew. I'd look down. I wouldn't look at the preacher. I tried to think of everything else. I'm going to go in front of all these people. That's embarrassing. But the night I got saved, I didn't care who looked. I didn't care who saw. We don't contribute to our salvation. We receive it as a gift. That magic in Christmas has been lost on me as an adult. I buy all my favorite Christmas gifts now. I've got one still coming in the mail. Sinead doesn't even know she bought it for me yet. I'm so excited. I got it wrapped just like I wanted. They said it's going to come in a silver box. It's going to have tissue paper with a name tag on the outside. And right on the outside it says, "To Chance from Sinead." I almost got so bold to say, have it say, "I love you very much," or something like that. And I said, maybe I better not. But you know, as a child, we understood this. What kind of faith did Jesus say it would take to save you? Childlike faith. "Except you come to me like one of these little children, you can't come to me," he said. As a child, you don't know where they come from. There's just these gifts. Now, all the different families and traditions have their ideas for where they come from, but the kid don't really care. They just want to get up on Christmas morning, rip the paper open, and get the thing. I love the old song, "All of Grace is My Story, All the Way from Earth to Glory." That's wonderful. No, not even faith is a work. If faith were a virtue, then we would be able to boast ourselves of it in heaven. We would be there because of the grace of God plus our faith. Others would not be there because their faith was lacking. I would fall into that lacking category. I lack faith more than I have faith. But still God says I'm saved. That's a blessing to me. Because there are days when I have a hard time believing. I know you don't want to hear that out of your preacher. But I want to be real with you and let you know that I'm not some superhero of faith up here that's just got it dripping off of me and that's why I'm going to heaven and why I'm the preacher. No, I'm going to heaven because God in His grace shone the light of salvation in my life on March the 9th, 1994. I'm the preacher because as a 15-year-old boy, really a 13-year-old boy, God put a thirst into me to study the Word and talk a lot. And my parents said, "Boy, were we glad when we thought we were glad when he learned to talk." Faith is not a work. Nothing that you or I can do, however great or small, can get us into salvation. Now, that's not to say you can't be saved. I'm just saying it's all God. If we think there is something that we can do, like grace plus our faith, then we are still trusting in ourselves. We're still trusting in our own ability rather than in Christ alone. Thus, we cannot be saved. Now, that's shocking, but that's also very comforting. If your hope is in anything besides the work of Jesus Christ only, then you're not saved. But if you'll put your trust in nothing but the work of Jesus Christ alone, you're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace alone. All we can do, but also all we must do. That's the comfort. It's all you can do, but it's all God expects of you. All you must do is take the gift that God puts in your hand and thank Him. In fact, I just added that on the end. The Bible actually doesn't say you have to thank God to even get saved, but you will. It's a lot better than anything you've ever had before. So I close today by asking, will you not do that? This is the way a person becomes a Christian. This is how you pass from death to life. It is to say, as we sing in the hymn, "Rock of Ages, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Tell Jesus I trust you and not me." Would you stand?